go. That'll help. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 this morning. And you know, when I tell you this all the time, but when I sing the songs that we sing, often my mind just goes to the scripture that it relates to. So you're singing a phrase, and then I think of the phrase in scripture. And I was having a little trouble finding the scripture for dancing in fields of grace with my Father God. I mean, we sang that this morning. Dancing in fields of grace with my Father God. And I just tried to think of the connection with that and how free we are from the law. That we don't have to keep a group of laws to make God happy with us. That we are truly in a sense of freedom. That's what kind of my thinking this song through was. We're in a place of freedom with Christ. That he has saved us from the law, and we really are, in a way, dancing with our Father in a graceful relationship with him. What a great picture that is for us, that we are covered by his grace, we are saved by his grace, and that we live in God's grace. So I'm going to pray again. Father, I thank you for the scripture and the message that you put on my heart. Lord, it is sometimes just a wrestling with you as I come to this moment on Sunday mornings. And this was a wrestling time, God. And I pray that I will be able to describe it. And God, that your word would be clear, and Holy Spirit, that you would teach all of us truth from your word this morning as we talk about your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to say one other word, and that is, when we think of the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I know intellectually we all know this, but I believe that we should be thinking God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, maybe I've done this, and so I'm putting this on you, but sometimes I have separated the work of the Holy Spirit as if it is almost an outside God work, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit and so on. The reality is, it is God in the form of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And so it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all sovereign. They're all omnipotent. They are all powerful. They're all knowing. They're everywhere present. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just felt like I wanted to nail that down. This morning, I really wanted to talk about service. Mike, it's going to take me a minute to get to this first slide, but I will. I wanted to talk about serving. We've talked in the last few weeks about things like kindness and forgiveness and love, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? You remember some of that? And we've been trying to be very practical about what does it mean to walk in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. That's kind of coming to this first slide. We are Christ's body. And so if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you're part of the body. You are a child of God. You are part of Christ's body. And he has given us gifts and abilities, and those gifts and abilities are to be used in the body for the sake of Christ and his ministry. So we have people up here singing and people teaching and people who are going to be helping in the kitchen. And we have all these different functions that happen in Christ's body. And then with that, we reflect God's glory. It actually says that as we act, we are the body of Christ, and we live out who we are in Christ, that we reflect his glory. The glory and honor goes to God. We're functioning. The Bible says that we should function as a unified body. And so in the scriptures that we've read over the last few weeks, there's this list of put off and put on. I think we can go to the next slide. So 1 Corinthians 12, let's just take a look at this for a second. So you got all these words in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at the very last verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And Paul does this beautiful dialogue about how the body functions together. Now let's go to the next slide. So how do we best reflect Christ to one another and the world? And that's kind of what I'm going to address today. How do we best do that? So I was going to say, you know, kindness, forgiveness, love. The next word was going to be service. We serve. We serve one another. We serve Christ. In the very next passage in Colossians 3, it says how husbands and wives serve one another. But I'm going to just talk for a minute and tell you, unless we're rooted in Christ, all of these things that we do can be just like religious acts. And I am going to try to speak to that today a little bit when we get to Philippians chapter 3. So let me read this. In setting our mind on things above, we have addressed, and I've listed a bunch of things here, talks about putting off anger and wrath and malice and putting on tender mercies and kindness and patience and so on. Kindness, forgiveness, delighting in his word, loving as Christ loved, in word and deed, doing all in his name. Today I wanted to address how we serve one another. Now let's go to the next slide. So then we come to these scriptures and we realize that when Christ came, by the way, he was God in the flesh. We should bow down and worship him and we should serve him. But listen to what scripture says. Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, did not come to be served, but to what? Serve. So he is our example. So that is a big part of the fruit of being in Christ. He came to serve, we serve. He came, he's our model, we model after him. Mark 9 says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, you know, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the last and the servant of all. So God calls us to take a place of servanthood along the way, right? That's what he calls us. So by the way, he wants you to serve in the church. He wants you to serve in the family. Husbands, he wants you to serve your wife. Wives, he wants you to serve your husband. We're serving in the career world and all those places where we go and serve. There's just no area where we're not a servant. We are called to be servants everywhere we go. Whether we're in high positions or low positions, we are called to be servants. And Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. So that's free in Christ, free from the law. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And there's this war between being selfish and being serving. Don't use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And I think, you know, we are learning that. We have lived it. We've done it. We're learning it more and more. I feel like I'm always learning these same things. I don't got them down. Constantly, the Lord is reminding me to do that last phrase, serve one another humbly in love. All right, now the next slide. And this is just kind of a quick reminder. You already know these passages. You know, since you've been raised with Christ, you've been saved, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So when verse 3 says you died, you remember in our baptism time last week, it says that we die to self and we die to sin and we're raised to newness of life, right? We have died. And the Bible actually says when Christ died, we died with him. I'm still grasping what that means. And then verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, and I want you to just get that in your brain, when Christ is your life, anything we do as a Christian, we are given the ability, the strength, the motivation comes from Christ. And if it's not from Christ, guess what? It's just out of the flesh. Okay? Just begin to grasp this. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory, the hope of eternal life as well. Therefore, as God's chosen people, and then there's this list of the things that we've already talked about. Let's go to the next slide. And the same. Let's go to the next slide. So here's what I'd like to talk about for a minute. The tree, the roots, and the fruit. Okay? Now, I drew this really crude drawing during Sunday school this morning. We were sitting in our class. And you probably can't even see it. It's so small. I should have a great, great big picture of this. Yeah, use a Sharpie would have at least helped, huh? Bolden it up a little bit. It's my teacher talking back there. So on top, you have a tree. And on that tree, there's some words, the same words we've been talking about. Kindness, forgiveness, love, service. Okay, so that's the top part. And then you have the trunk of the tree. And then this represents the ground. And then underneath, you have some roots. Now, the roots down here is a word. It says in Christ. Okay, so when we are saved, our roots are going deep in Christ, in our relationship, our intimacy with Christ. If our roots are not in Christ, then the fruit that's up above is worthless. Okay, so in the class, I said, okay, guys, I'm going to draw this little board down on the bottom of my dirt, and I'm going to put some bolts down. All right, and let's say that the board and the bolts are what's holding the tree up. Not very good, right? Winds come, North Carolina, no tree stands in the wind if you're just holding it down with bolts. What does a tree have to stand strong? Deep roots, deep roots. If we try to love, if we try to forgive, if we try to be kind in our own strength, that's like a tree that's bolted down. It's fake fruit. Only when our roots, and again, I'm sorry my picture's not bigger, but only when our roots are deep in Christ will our fruit be lasting fruit of the Spirit. By the way, if you try to forgive and love and be kind kind of on your own strength, what will happen to you? You wear out. You're exhausted. You can't do it very long. It's of the flesh. I'm trying to be better, God. I'm trying to love. I'm trying to be patient with that person. I'm trying to be kind. It is so important that you and I nurture our relationship with Jesus. It is so important that regularly we spend time with Jesus. Regularly we worship him. Regularly we learn about him. Regularly we stay with him. If you ever feel like you're just worn out doing Christian service, it's probably directly relational to how little time you're spending nurturing your time with Jesus. Does that make sense? So on this slide up here, I wrote down this. The root of our tree, so to speak, is not knowledge alone. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It is Christ himself. Paul describes in Philippians 3, the basis of reflecting Christ to each other and the world is through intimately knowing the Savior, a living, precious, daily relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason that I wanted to talk about this is because there are many times where I feel like in my own spirit, that I have loved and tried to be kind and tried to forgive in my own strength. And it wears me out. Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying to love. I'm trying to forgive. I'm trying to do it, Lord. And he's saying, Jim, you're trying the wrong way. Not until your roots are deep in me are you ever going to be do this with any effectiveness. Are you ever going to reflect? That's the difference between, see, the Pharisees in Jesus' time, they had lots of knowledge. They knew the Old Testament scriptures, and they could tell you the stories. But they weren't nurturing a relationship with God. They weren't thinking about who God is. He is the creator. He's the savior. He's my deliverer. He sustains me. I am nothing without him. You are nothing without your roots in Christ. Now, salvation is like the first step. You know how to develop an intimate relationship with another person? What do you have to do? You know, when you first kind of notice that person and you began to want to develop a long, lasting relationship, a marriage relationship with that person, what did you do? You started thinking up all kinds of ways to spend time with him or her. And you began to invest and think, how can I please that person? And how can I love that person? How can I show them how I really feel? Right? Developing an intimate relationship. Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to just start with chapter 3, verse 3. This is what Paul says. Further, my brothers and sisters, and I'm just going to slow down here. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him. Rejoice in who Jesus, God in the flesh, is in your life. He says, for it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. In fact, it is a safeguard to you. Verse 2 just takes this whole other turn. He says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Now, let me just stop there. So what did the mutilators of the flesh, who did that represent? They represented the Jews. And a system of laws. If you do this and this and this and this and this, God will be happy. Do this and this and this. And he says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Watch out for the dogs, the evildoers. That represented religious behavior. If you think you're going to be deeply satisfied and at peace if you go to church, the action of going to church, I got to go to church every Sunday. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do that. He's saying, don't count on the foundation of your faith to be actions. The foundation of your faith is a relationship with Christ. My brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 3, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus. So he's going to say two things. We boast in Christ. What does that mean? We brag on him. We count on him. We boast in Christ. It's what he did that makes me saved. It's what he did that sustains me. It's what he did that gives me hope and promise and peace. It's what Jesus did. We who boast in Christ and we put, what does Paul say? I put no confidence in what? In the flesh. I'm still trying to understand how to truly live this truth out. No confidence in the flesh. Where is our confidence? In Christ alone. Verse 4 says, though I myself, and then Paul lists this, he just says, here's what Paul says is, I'm a great guy. I am the most religious guy. If anybody had reason to put confidence in the flesh, I do. Here's what he says. though I myself have reason for such confidence in the flesh. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, hey, look at me. He says, I have more. I was circumcised the eighth day. I'm a people of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Man, in regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. I did it all. As for zeal as a Jewish religious leader, he was persecuting the church. Now, who's the church? Believers in Christ. He said, man, I was out there, you know, standing for the Jewish law. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. Okay? So we have to be careful. We have to be careful not to think that we have this list of credentials that is going to make God really happy with us. It's not. It's not going to make God really happy with us if we try to do the right things in the strength of our flesh. I'm sorry? He doesn't want a performance. What he wants from you is personally to know him personally. He wants you to contemplate him, meditate on him, think on him. Joy? Beautiful. That's right. Now, when you just be with him, when you love, it's going to be genuine. When you forgive, you'll be understanding forgiveness because you're rooted in his forgiveness. So you'll understand that when you love, it's going to be genuine. When you're kind, it's going to have lasting effect. When you serve, it's going to be because you're walking with your Lord and he motivates you. The Spirit of God leads you to serve. So he says verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul had a lot to lose. He was the best of the best, the religious of the religious. He was the keeper of the law. Nobody could find fault with him. He says, all that stuff, all of it, I count as loss. All of it. I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. In fact, he says, I consider them garbage. Really? He says, I consider them garbage. So what does God want from us? If he doesn't want all this religious behavior, and by the way, religious behavior is just like spiritual noise. What does he want? He wants you. He wants you. He wants me. He wants me to put him in priority in my life. He wants me to spend time with him. He wants me to worship him. He wants me to read his word and get to know him. He wants to spend time with me. And you know what? We live in a world where we are so busy. We get up by the sound of the telephone, beep, beep, beep. We got a list of stuff we got to get done. And we've got a list of, we got schoolwork and career. We got all this stuff. And Jesus says, I just want time with you. You know what he promises? He promises if you'll give him time, he'll walk with you through all that other stuff. So Paul says, I consider them garbage that I may do what? That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. In other words, not that I could, you know, pat myself on the back and I'd have all these accolades because I do all this stuff and I say, wow, God, you should be really happy with me. He says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, that righteousness, being justified before God the Father. God the Son died on the cross so that I could put my faith and trust in him so that through the blood of Christ, the Father would see me righteous. All of my righteousness comes from Christ. All of your righteousness comes from Christ. There is no righteousness outside of Christ. It's only what he has done in your life. So we come to him on our knees. We come to him with priority. We spend time with him because of what he's done. The last part of that verse says, no righteousness of my own, but the righteousness that is through faith in Christ. Going on, it says, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul says in verse 10, I want to know Christ. Now, by the way, I can't interpret this for you. I can't make this real for you. I'm reading you Paul's words, and he says, the one who could be righteous all on his own, he says, I just want to know Christ. And listen how he wants to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. What happened to him on that resurrection day? What did the Father do? What was actually taking place? God wants you to want these things. Look what else he says. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. For the person, for us, who are rooted in Christ, we are inviting of this kind of thing. We are inviting to say, Lord, I want to know, I want to participate in your sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. When we are spending time, as Jim Eggert, spend time with Jesus, being still, meditating, loving him first, putting him first, we invite this kind of truth, understanding the power of God working through us, understanding God, the resurrection power of God working through us to carry out things in our world that may be bigger than we can handle. Understanding and participating in his sufferings, suffering for the cause of Christ, that we would find joy in suffering for Jesus here now in the flesh. Verse 12 says, not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal. But what does he do? He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And you may ask the question, why did Jesus Christ take hold of you? He did. Christ Jesus took hold of you. What's his plan? You know, his plan is mostly, it begins with you spending time, you being in his presence, you being with Christ. Primarily in your life. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Paul says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He understands. He understands this is a continual surrender, a continual being with Jesus. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to forget what's behind, and I'm going to strain on to what's ahead. You know what happens if we look behind? You know what happens if you look behind? We see all the failures. We see all the discouragements. We see all the stuff that we didn't do right or we did do right. And Paul says, and by the way, Paul had a laundry list of things he'd done that were not pleasing to God. And it says, forgetting what lies behind and straining ahead. And by the way, I would say to you, strain ahead. It's the picture of a race. Some of you have run cross country, right? I know some cross country runners in the crowd. And what do you do? What do you do when you're straining ahead? You're forgetting what's behind. You're looking forward. Look forward to having an intimate, deep, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Look forward to that, and look forward so that the fruit of your life is genuine love and genuine kindness and genuine forgiveness. Forgiveness and love and kindness that is rooted in your relationship with Christ. We're reading a book right now. This guy's name is Miles Stanford. And he says this, "Rejoice, dear friend, in your need and hunger of heart. For God says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He says, as we in our abject need, that means we're terribly needy before God, consistently and love, as we in our abject need consistently and lovingly look on our Lord Jesus revealed to us in the Word, the Holy Spirit will quietly and effortlessly change the center and source of our lives from self to Christ. I hope you can get that a little bit. It's kind of, Miles Stanford writes these long sentences. Let me read that again. As we in our abject need, and by the way, do you see yourself in need? I am in need for Christ's help and direction. As we in our need consistently and lovingly look to the Lord Jesus revealed to us in the Word, the Holy Spirit will quietly and effortlessly change the center and source of our lives from ourself to Christ. Hence, for each of us, it will be not I, but Christ who lives in me. In this next slide, this is a very familiar verse, Romans 8, 28 and 29. Look at verse 29 just for a second. The part that's underlined, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The idea is that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Son's name is Jesus, and we are to be conformed to his image. Okay? So that's what he is doing in our lives. By the way, he uses good things and hard things to conform us into his image. He uses difficult things. He uses crises. He uses breakdowns. He uses financial issues. And what are all those things supposed to do for us? Cause us to do what? Closer to him. Lean on him. Lean on him. And we are being conformed. It's like taking clay in your hands, and he's the potter, and he's molding you to become who he wants you to be. That you're walking with him, you're trusting him, that you're leaning on him, that you're rooted in him. That you might be conformed to the image of his Son. In 2 Corinthians it says, he says in verse 10, chapter 4, "Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body." That the life of Jesus may be shown, seen in our body, in our actions, in who we are as a child of God. That the last part of this verse, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Galatians chapter 4 just says this, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, I'm doing that until what? Until Christ is formed in you." Okay? So back to my goofy little picture. You got the tree with the fruit, and you have the roots down below, and you have the idea that you could be doing this all on your own strength. God wants your fruit to last. We want to be able to, and Spirit of God, speak to us. We want to be able to have kindness and love and forgiveness. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We want that to be lasting fruit, not just actions like law actions that are religious, but rooted deep in Christ, so that the fruit is lasting, so that it touches people's lives. You guys, we started out with the idea of how can we reflect Christ best in the body? How can we reflect Christ best in the world, in our community? The way that we can do that best is to be deeply rooted in Christ. So what that means, I'd like to move forward to this slide that says knowing Christ intimately. Mike, you guys heard of Charles Stanley? A lot of people like to watch Charles Stanley. He says this, no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, it's never too late to begin pursuing a deeper relationship with him. Whether you're already passionate about Jesus or you know him only on a surface level, it is wise to do as Paul urged, to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then the next slide, some things that that he suggested, knowing Christ intimately. But before I even go to the first one that says study Scripture, I'd like to go back to what Joy said. Just be with him. Take time to be still and know that he is God. You know, probably some of you have some ways that you do that. Things that you do early in the morning or late at night or during the day that you just spend time with Jesus. Get your roots deep. Studying Scripture, no one can know God apart from his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He speaks to us through it, revealing who he is and what he does. Man, you want to know about God, his character, his love for you? Read his word. Number two, be willing to spend time alone with the Father in prayer, meditation, and worship. You know, one of the main reasons Christians don't have a close relationship with Jesus is that they're unwilling to invest the time needed to know him better. You know, many times people say, you know, I missed being with the Lord on Monday, Tuesday. Oh, it's Friday. Lord, I'm sorry. I'll spend with you tomorrow some time. And then it just goes like that. It's just like this domino effect. We intend to have time with the Lord, right? Take time with the Lord. Number three, trust God. The depth of any relationship depends upon the level of trust. Learn to trust God. Act in trust toward God. And then obeying him, each step of obedience, the Lord will reveal more of himself. For instance, if you obey God, if he says to you to do something and you've got 10 other things to do and you say, okay, God, you're telling me to do this, I'll do it. You take that step of obedience, what do you learn? That God will be faithful and he'll help you with all these other things. Obey God. The next is observe how Christ works in your life. Pay attention to how the Lord operates. You'll become familiar with his ways and goals. And then we've already said this, but make Jesus your top priority. You know, I want to be kind, to serve, to forgive, to love, that whatever I do, that I would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I know that there's a direct relationship of those fruits to how my roots are in Christ, to the time that I spend with him. Do you find yourself frustrated or discouraged? Do you find yourself feeling like you're spinning your wheels in your relationship with God? It may be because we're trying to do this stuff without spending time with him. All he wants is to spend time with you and you with him. There's a song that I'd like for us to sing. We're going to use it as a closing song. And why don't you stand with me? And this is a song that I learned a long time ago when Dan Daly motivated us to go to Promise Keepers. Long, long time ago. And the guy who wrote this song, his name is Graham Kendrick. and he's going to sing it. But I put the words on the screen, and my hope was that you would sing it with him and that it could be just a reflection of your heart. Lord, I want to know you more. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing. Father, thank you that you desire a deep and intimate relationship with us. And God, I thank you that, I mean, everybody here wants the fruit of the Spirit. We want to have these Christ-like fruits in our lives, but we want them to be lasting. We want them to be meaningful to you and not done in our own strength. So, Lord, I pray, God, that we would again say, Lord, here I am. I want to walk with you. Help me walk with you. I want to spend time being with you so that my life will have fruit that lasts, fruit that touches people's lives, fruit that lasts for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's how the song goes. It'll take a minute for it to come up on the screen. And the words will be on the screen too. If you know it, just sing.
You're my joy, my righteousness.
God, I just pray that you would stir such a hunger in us that we would want to know you more personally, each one. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to know you. We want to grow deeper with you. Bless our time as we eat together today and pray together today, Lord, and we just look forward to what you have for us next. We pray in Jesus' name, and together we say, amen. 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 Let's have lunch together.